at that point, mentally, I was in this place of still darkness because we had just freshly come off the failed IVF attempt. And I was like, we need to do something. I need to get my mind off of it. Like, we need to do something to pass time and to kind of embrace the season that we're in. Yeah. So that's when we started looking at TikTok and seeing like funny things like, okay, let's try to do this and see, you know, what happens.
Never underestimate the power of laughter.
And it's like, while people were laughing at us, I was starting to get my laugh back, even in that moment of, it's hard right now, but I know I'm helping other people, but just as much it was helping me in the same.
Love is a treasure chest, but once opened, our hearts become vulnerable.
I went back to Vegas. It was this guy. He appeared as a friend. Sure enough, it led to infidelity.
Alignment can't be ignored.
We talked about certain topics as far as having kids. She didn't want to have kids. And that was one of the red flags.
And I know you desire marriage. So I think it's best you move on with your life.
What you do, hold on, Lisa, what you do?
I told him, okay.
She didn't ask me why.
I knew several other women's bodies better than I knew my own. I watched their videos of them having sex, so I would try to imitate that.
No discussion is off limits. Dear Future Wifey podcast brings healing.
You inspire us to try God a little bit more.
But through this platform, I realized that it's possible. It's possible to love again.
The conversations have really helped me to change my perspective on relationships.
Season 7 is all about tough topics. I'm Lateris R. Winfield, and welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. I'm your host, Lateris R. Winfield. Listen, are you still shacking up with us? If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. Can I just say happy Thanksgiving? Happy Thanksgiving. This is a season to be thankful. I mean, and truthfully speaking, every day should be a day that we show thanks. But the nation stops on this day to show our thankfulness and our gratitude. Hopefully you are embracing your families, showing love, and just embracing the reason for this season. Well, today's episode, when I, you know, I do pre-interviews with people, and I did a quick pre-interview with this couple, and they almost made me just break down crying and just me asking them questions. I almost got myself caught up, and I said, let me wait until we do this episode, and then we can just go ahead and unpack this. So if y'all see me crying through this episode, hey, it is what it is. You've seen this couple, you've seen their viral videos, you laughed at it, you probably said, there ain't no way they're going to accomplish that challenge. And most of the time they don't. They just don't. They don't. So without further ado, welcome to Dear Future Wifey podcast. My new homies, Hope and Kadero Watson. How y'all doing?
Thank you for having us. We are good.
Man,
let me tell y'all something. It's interesting that y'all, what made y'all start doing that? What made y'all start doing these videos? Y'all see these people doing these challenges and y'all just crazy enough to go try to do it.
We are crazy enough to do it.
This one.
So you started Kadero?
It's funny because if you, in our comments, most people think, oh, you got a good man. He fooled with your shenanigans. But really, it's me that
he's
be like,
got a good woman.
Look at this. We should try. I just want to put you on a wall and see if I can hold you up.
That part, my own strength. Yeah.
I'm goofy at nature. Yeah. I'm silly at nature, but thank God I got one that can ride with it.
I don't ride with all of them, though.
So he showed you some stuff you like,
Absolutely.
Give me an example.
The one, she's like upside down. I would have my feet on her and her head's towards the ground.
Oh, yeah. So you're on your back.
I put my feet up and he would hold her up.
Yeah.
She was like, nah, because if I slip my head.
And my neck goes to the side. I have a daughter. Like,
I gotta live.
And that's what I keep telling them. I have to live.
Has there ever been any little stunts? Because that's what pretty much they are. Stunts that y'all done that it just didn't end well.
Oh, yeah, she kicked me one time.
It wasn't my idea. One of his.
What happened? What was the little thing?
I had to, she's like dancing and I pick her up and spin her.
Yeah.
So she's now upside down, and then she like does this little wave. But when I spun her, her knee, boom, right on my head.
Yeah.
I literally had this like knot. So we did a video definitely, and I was like, look at this big old knot on my head. Kicked the mess out of me.
So you spin her around in there.
He asked to do it.
I did.
I mean,
I did.
So you was able to hold her up. You didn't drop her. Didn't drop her. Yeah. Even as she kicked you, you didn't drop her.
I didn't drop her.
I said, let's hurry up and speed up this video before it starts getting bigger and bigger.
So if they didn't see us a couple of days, that was the reason why, because I wasn't going to show that I had this
knot. The ice pack. Yeah. The ice pack.
Yeah.
So when y'all start, how long have y'all been doing those skits?
Three years. So 2020. So really, we had a page, but it was like that cute, oh, we're going out on date nights. Here's the food we're eating.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit and I was working at home and we're looking at each other like.
All day.
I got bored.
Oh,
all day.
Yeah. Like, I love all you, day. But man, I'm used to going to work. Yeah. And it was one of them things like, we got to do something.
Something.
So TikTok was our best friend.
Yeah.
And
we literally saw something and we were like, oh, this seems easy enough. Like, we can do this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, you know, let's try pastime or whatever. And so we posted it and we got a little response. And
it was like 5,000 views.
And we were like, oh, snap. Like, we didn't make it, right?
How many followers did y'all have at that time?
Probably like 300.
The 5,000 huge.
It was big. But it was the comments that started coming in that were like, oh my gosh, like this made me laugh after a long day or a hard day or depression or things like that. And I was like, hey, we may be onto something. Why not spread joy? You know? So we just started rolling with it and it just started growing. And
so we had this one video that it was like the Sierra video. Remember the promise video? And she has the microphone. Broom. And she's like, the microphone moves and it looks
So
we reenact that. And it's, I'm holding this broom.
Yeah,
and as she's going, I'm tilting the broom. And then I like hold her up as she leans forward. And then we both get on the wall and we do that part where they like grooving on the wall. Well, that thing goes viral. The shade room throws it up. And it was like, oh, snap. And we went from like, at that time, we maybe had like,
15,000, 20,000.
Yeah, and we shot up to like 50,000 to 75,000 real quick.
Overnight.
Overnight. Like, I think we literally broke Instagram. Like, we could not get into our account.
We broke our account for sure.
Yeah, we couldn't comment. Like, things were just weird. And I was like, I don't think.
For how long?
We were off for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Y'all couldn't do anything.
I felt so bad because I was like, this is funny. I want to write back. But it was like broken. Like, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
When the Shade Room posted, how many did y'all look and see how many views that got?
Oh, it was at least.
I think it probably was like
over 100 million on there. It was wild.
It was crazy.
It was something wild. And we had people calling us like, I saw you on the Shade Room. Oh my gosh, I know
It was weird.
So that was during the pandemic?
That was during the pandemic.
Yeah, that was.
And so that was kind of the start. So then, you know, years go by. We did a couple of different interviews.
Yeah.
We got about 200,000 in a year.
Yeah.
On TikTok.
On Instagram.
So y'all doing TikTok and Instagram.
Yep.
So which account has the biggest following?
Instagram right now.
So Instagram, how many do you have?
331,000.
And then TikTok has what?
162,000. Yeah.
That's good. Have y'all started doing brand deals or anything?
We have. So that was one of the first things that, because we didn't realize like that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Our fields were not in that. Like she was in administration. I was, I worked in college athletics. It was just like, okay. And this is before NLI and people getting those deals. So we got a brand that reached out and was like, yeah, we want to pay you some high five figures to. And we was like,
I went running around that apartment that we were in. The first thing was like, okay, because they asked for our rate. So we were like, oh, well, I don't want this to be too much.
Y'all were talking about $1,000.
Right.
Hey, Bobby ain't gonna do it for $1,000. They like,
I know.
They be like, oh, we gonna give you $25,000. He's like, y'all lie.
Then we gonna like, all right, you know, the old negotiation. Let's go $10,000 high and trust this case. We did it. It was like, we can meet you here. All right.
Okay. Sign the papers.
So, what do we sign? And it was just like,
when you got that money, it was so unreal, huh?
Buddy, so unreal.
It was unreal.
Y'all just gave me half my
Exactly.
Let's
do more videos. But at the end of the day, what we saw was God being displayed in our marriage. Right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what our marriage is a reflection of God's love.
Right.
And the number of people is like, man, I feel the authenticity of your love. I feel that you guys, your chemistry is real. It's not the fake things that they're like, turn on the camera. Hey, I love my wife.
Yeah.
No, this turn is it off, real.
Be like, yeah, go to your room, go to your room. We both sleep in a separate bed.
Exactly. It was real. And so we was like, this is what's changing lives. Yeah. Because somebody can say, I can have hope again in relationship.
Pun intended, because hope.
There it is.
And I can try again, or yeah. I want to try love again, or I want love.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of our motivation every day to be like, why not have fun?
Right.
These videos came at a very pivotal time, and we're going to unpack that a little later. But we're going to start back on, how did you guys meet?
Man, we have known each other since middle school.
Yeah.
Middle school. Seventh grade. Now, I would say this. I knew her in middle school. That she part. Would say she did not know who I was.
And so the name
she
floating
said, I wasn't
around.
Checking for you. I was not checking for you at that time.
She wasn't checking for me. Funny thing, and why I think God is so funny is we like officially met. My ninth grade year, her 10th grade year in high school. And we had,
you got your older woman. You got your brother.
You know it, man. Always looking up.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. You know, right. I know. Right.
But we met in theater class. Yeah. So oh, here we are.
Okay, y'all theater. Okay.
Well, I don't know if we theater. We just, that was our elective. That
we always one we had to check off the box. No, there was nothing else left. It was like theater, let's theater. Go.
But see, me and Rihanna, we have a theater background. I used to tour shows across the country as a playwright, director, producer. Rihanna is a fabulous, I would just say award-winning actress. She's the bomb. That's my technical director over there. So she is dope. But so y'all was just using that as an elective to get that easy A.
And then like that friendship blossomed from there. And the funny thing is she had this young man that used to like follow her around. And I just tried to be, you know, a good friend. And he wanted to take her to homecoming. I was like, oh, sorry, bro. She can't go with you because she's going with me.
Yeah.
And she was just like.
And you never said it to her.
No. No.
She didn't know.
No, not at all.
I was just trying to be helpful.
But the way. Look. But the way I was relieved, I said, I'm going with him. Right? Because I did not want to go with this other guy. And it just started from
and
there.
It started from there.
Yeah, and we actually went.
Even though when we went, she had a boyfriend at the time.
Okay, let me explain.
Let me explain.
So we had already established we were going to homecoming, right? And this was early on. And so this guy had asked me out, and I was like, I already have a date to homecoming. But if you cool with that, like, I'm going to go with him because I'm not going to break my commitment.
Yes.
And he was cool with it. But
and
I will
until
say
we got the homecoming.
Until
and
we
dancing. We used to have these pillars in our cafeteria. All I could see is his brother like this.
Lurking. Lurking hard. He was lurking. Yeah.
Get your man. He is all in our.
But I will say, about 2 days later, we broke it off.
We broke it off.
Yeah.
I couldn't see that coming. I couldn't.
It's very random.
Yeah, it was very random.
You know,
I don't see why he would break up with you.
A long relationship is about 2 weeks.
That's right. And so that's when we started dating. We lasted about a month.
We lasted. See, that
a
was
good push, month.
Yeah,
that was long. That was strong. 20 years.
Yeah. Until we broke it off. And then, funny thing is, when we broke up, we didn't speak to each other. We may have said hi, but we didn't speak to for like another year and a half.
Oh, y'all was mad, huh?
Yes.
Y'all broke up and was like,
We
would see each other. We would say hello, but we was doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Until her friend and my friend wanted to go to prom together, and we hooked them up. And so we started talking again.
Yeah.
And that was my junior year. Her senior year, she graduated. I'm going into my senior year. And this is funny because we just put a post about this not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She calls me up. And she was like, what you doing? And this is summertime. We really hadn't talked. She called me out of the blue and was like, hey, how you doing? I was like, oh, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
Good. I was just seeing if you're doing anything today. I was like, nah, what's up? She's like, maybe we can go to lunch. I said, all right, well, how about TGF Fridays?
Yeah. There it is.
And I was like, she's like, cool.
Yeah.
And it was like this that list that came out. Like, I think Fridays would have been on that list.
Man,
look,
that was my spot. And so this is your senior year. This is you going into your senior
year. I was going into my senior year.
Graduating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And were you planning on going to college or anything?
No, I went straight to work.
And so y'all live, and this is in Chicago?
This is in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia.
So y'all lived in Virginia before y'all migrated to Chicago.
Yeah.
So y'all was in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
He said, all right. So then y'all went out to TGI Fridays, and then what happened?
I feel like the rest was history. Yeah. Like, we just started that summer. I was always at his house, like, bright early in the morning, late at night. There was just sitting in the parking, like, in the driveway just talking. I mean, that whole summer, it was just us, like, just doing.
And so then he went to his senior year, had a whole girlfriend.
Had a whole girlfriend.
Went
senior
to college,
year,
had a whole girlfriend.
And I went to college and had a whole girlfriend. And it's funny now because my boys from college would be like, man, you was married like when we was in school.
Yeah.
But they be like, bro, we'd be walking down the, you know, down the street and we like, where Kadero? He two feet back talking on the phone, talking about what up, Hosty Wolfie.
Yes,
so that was it. That was our life. What up, Hosty Wolfie? So that was me because I knew, like, I had someone special. And I think that moment I really knew. And I had a relationship with guy, like, we probably wasn't on, like,
no,
all the way, like,
oh, yeah, you know, college, I mean, no, I like, know homos were doing what homos
was
doing
what they did.
But I had a relationship, and I remember I played football, and I hurt my knee, and she came up, and she, like, just took care of me during that time.
So you still stayed local when you was playing?
I mean, I was 4 hours away. I was in Pennsylvania, but she used to come up every weekend.
Just hope he was up there. You was over there.
Yeah, I got my degree when he got his degree because I was almost there.
Yeah, to get that honorary degree because I was there every weekend.
Yep.
But yeah,
4 years.
Four years.
And going into my senior year, I proposed. Like, I knew. I proposed in college. I didn't know what I was going to be doing.
So you're 21 years old.
I was 20.
So did your parents say, hold on, you're moving too fast. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Take your time. Get your career established. Then come back. Women will always be there. Son, what are you doing? Did you ever have those conversations?
I remember we recently talked about this with my mom. Was like, we were sitting it was all of us. And she used to say this, like, you know, I encourage my kids, you know, date a little bit.
Yep.
You know, because there's a lot of people out there and you want to know what you... You want to make sure you know what's out there and who's what and what you really want.
Yeah.
And that was, I definitely heard her, but I also, I was probably this hopeless romantic because I saw my parents, actually, who were celebrated 43 years, 44 years, and they known each other since
second grade. Yeah.
And so I think she was speaking from experience because she got married at 18, 19. They was 18, 19.
For real? Mm-hmm. Same
and
thing.
So it was like, I hear you, but there's this in me that's like, nah, this is the one. This is the woman that's going to push purpose in me. This is the woman that's going to talk to me and be like, you tripping. And I'm going to stay with you, but you tripping. And so I know I needed that because if I wasn't with her in that time, you talking about a dude that probably spreading them wild oats everywhere. Because I had her, there was this, she was like that guard for me.
So it didn't make you feel like you were being confined at that young age? It didn't make you go, well, I got her, but I'm finna get me a little old cuddle buddy at the campus.
There was times where, and it came out where it's like, I know that girl and dance parties.
Yeah.
I was dancing all up on that.
Right.
Well, and this is how God works because Facebook was out then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And a picture started floating around. And I said, wait a minute, this picture looked like my man.
He over gyrating on somebody?
Right, right, right.
I would tell on myself.
He would tell on himself. I said, buddy, what is this? What you doing?
What you doing? I see you.
I mean, part of me, like, now, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, it was college. Yeah. Like, but back then, I was like,
oh, you going crazy.
I was mad, right? Yeah.
Ready to make another trip up in.
Yeah.
Plus, you got that honorary degree.
Yeah. I know. But, I mean, it is what it was.
I had the same speech with my... my daughter and my son-in-law, they just got married last December, and they met seventh grade. And they actually started really getting, they met seventh grade, but I wasn't letting you date nobody at that age.
Right.
But then her senior year, then that's when they really started getting official, and they went to college together, whatnot. They went to the same college, and I drove them up there and dropped them off. But it was the same thing. I said, I told my daughter, man, date other folks. Like, yeah. go do this. She's like, why would I know what I want? This right. is everything I want. I said, but right. you don't even know that yet. Like, yeah. you can't possibly know that. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And I realized that she was a whole lot more wiser than I was mm-hmm. at that age. Mm-hmm. Is that when you know, you know. I had the same speech with him. Man, listen, bro. Like, yeah. to date some other folks. Mm-hmm. Like, who tells somebody mm-hmm. to go date somebody yeah. else with yeah. their daughter? Because I'm saying at the end of the day, I don't want you investing so much at this young age and then you get a major heartbreak at 22 because y'all been only investing in each other at the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And now you feel like you're married to that person. You know, you're making life decisions, going to college with this person and right. all that. And then you experience this big heartbreak like y'all were married. I'm saying...
right.
Y'all young, treat it as young. Let mm-hmm. it just be a little kiddie relationship. But shoot, unbeknownst to me, heck, yeah. they was like, this is where I'm at. I don't want yeah. nobody else. We want each other, and it is what it is. And they got married last year at the age of 27 or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's that reality. So when I listen to people like y'all, I get encouragement because I'm saying everybody's love story is different.
True.
It's interesting that your parents were also trying to encourage you to date other people when they, in fact, their love story was they met in the second grade. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yep. What about your family?
So my parents got divorced my senior year, but they had been together, I think, up until that point for about 20-something years.
Yeah, close to 25.
But it was always that thing, like, I knew what I wanted. And it for me, it was like, why keep searching if I know that this is my guy?
That's what my daughter told
and
me.
And so it's like, I knew that. And I knew, like he stated, like, he was pushing me towards purpose as well. Like, if it's working and it's good and I feel like God is telling me, like, he's the one, like, why keep looking? So,
but did y'all consider it purpose back then? Did y'all know it? You just like, they just pushing me to be on my grind, or they motivating me to do what? What was the framework that he was pushing you towards? Because that's a saying that we say now, hindsight being 2020.
Right.
But what was it then? He was just trying to tell you to get a better job? But like, what was it?
No, it was encouragement. Like, we did go to the same church. So there was times, like, I was the minister of music and he would help, like, our pastor with, like, certain things. And he's like, you know, have you been reading your word? Or like, and like we said, like, there's been times where we have fallen off for right. sure. But back then it was like, what are you doing to get better or to get deeper in the word? Or like,
he would say that.
Yeah. He would make sure he loved the way I took notes, like in class. I mean, not class,
in church.
And he was like, are you going back, or are you writing music, or are you doing this or that? And so it was kind of like he was pushing me always to do better than what I thought that I could do in that moment.
So you sing?
I did.
You just don't sing no more?
I haven't.
Your voice don't work no more.
That's another topic.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
She sings.
Back
she
then,
can
I did sing. It's been a while because since Virginia, we've lived in a lot of states for his job. And so there's been a lot of moving and haven't really been like in the church or like anything like that. So I haven't really had to sing in church. But yeah, one day he'll come back. We often have this conversation. Yeah, he'll come back one day.
And so he was pushing you towards that. And why was it important for you to have a girlfriend, a woman that you were seeing as, you know, desiring for her to be rooted in the word like that?
I think for me, it was one of those things where, you know, God calls for your wife to be that help. He calls me to be, you know, have that vision. But within that vision, there's going to be times where I need to know, God, am I hearing from you? So if I now need somebody, that helpmate, to say, can go into their prayer closet and be like, oh yeah, you hearing from God? That was what I needed, because there are going to be those times as a man where I don't feel like I'm doing it right, or I'm not, I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. And so for me to have someone else rooting the word to affirm me, know my love language, to say, nah, you hearing from God just fine. Let's keep going. Let's keep doing this. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew that. And I think it was so good that we were in the same church and around the word early, because at that young age, I already knew that.
Yeah.
And so now we're just stacking. You know, we've stacked on that foundation that we created with God and with yeah. each other. And now I already know every day that she got my back. Yeah. That she's a ride or die.
So going into your senior year of college, you said, I'm going to propose to this woman.
I did. Mm.
Why so soon? So young. Why couldn't you wait at least? I'm going to graduate and then I'm going to do that. Why was it important to be engaged going into your senior year?
It was one of those things. I know, honestly, circumstance too. Like, you know, back in the day, it was like, oh, you're not shacking up. We gonna do it. And it was like, I'm a graduate college and I'm going to leave. There's no way I'm leaving at that time Virginia and I'm not going without this girl. And so it was one of those things like, wherever I'm going, I need her with me. She's going to be there to make sure I'm good, make our house into a home. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things. I don't regret it at all. And it was one of the easiest things we did. And I actually did it in front of my mailbox because that's where I asked her to be my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the place I'm going to propose. Like, and it was one of those things. It was when I did it, I think she was just more in shock of like, oh, we're doing this now, huh?
Yeah.
And she knew it was going to happen. I think she had a dream.
I had dreams about it. Like, up until the moment, I had dreams that Kadira would propose. So
but it wasn't in front of the mailbox, was it?
Nah, it wasn't in front of the mailbox.
But your
was
dreams
not
need
in
to
front
be,
of the mailbox.
Your dreams need to be a little bit more elaborate.
Right. No, but yeah.
But that's what's so beautiful about the simplicity of it. Mm-hmm. Like, just how did you feel in that moment?
It was refreshing, I think, because we had just left a service and our pastor was talking about starting over and like rededicating and all that stuff. And that was when we looked at each other and Kadira was talking about he wanted to start new with me and like, you know, build and go further. And it was one of those things. He gave that speech and I was like, yeah, I'm going with you. And it was so smooth the way he did it because he had already given me a promise ring, like one of our first year, I think, of dating. And so he was like, yeah, I just want to take your promise ring, clean it up a little bit and represent it back to you as we start new and start over. And when he presented it, it was the engagement ring. And so I don't think I said yes for like a good 5 minutes.
Straight shock.
I was like in straight shock. But like I knew it was coming. But when he took me to the mailbox, I wasn't expecting that to be the location. But I loved it, though, because it was just the two of us. I never wanted it to be a big deal, like in front of people. So it's like, him knowing that and taking me there was special.
Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you what's so interesting about the story. I've been wanting to have my daughter and my son-in-law on the podcast, but she's extremely private. But that's exactly how their thing went.
Really?
Yes. He had given her a promise ring, but she had lost it. And so he went to the mall to get another one. And then when he gave her the new promise ring, he was just like, this is the real thing. I want to, you know, will you marry me? You know, and I was just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't about the dollar amount of it. It was about the intention about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's interesting how God works because, like I said, I wanted them to come on the podcast, share their story, and then here y'all are like a mirrored image of it. And it just blows my mind. And so what did your parents say? What did your mom say?
I love this about Kadira because he actually asked my parents. And he was actually he did a program called Semester at Sea. So he was going around the world or whatever. And he had emailed, I think you emailed my dad.
Your dad, yeah.
And we had just went to my house.
Oh, you did a whole semester doing that?
Uh-huh.
So how'd y'all weather that in a relationship?
Ooh, a lot of praying because I get an email, oh, we just left Carnival in Brazil. And I'm like, I know what Carnival in Brazil look like. And I'm in my prayer closet praying that God be a shield over your eyes. Oh, boy. It was hard. I'm not gonna lie, because especially time difference. Like there'd be times like he'd want to call, but he'd know like I'm asleep, or you know I'd wake up and he's asleep, and it was trying.
Y'all been through some stuff.
Yeah. But it was good though. It was good time apart, good time to reflect and know that like that's what we wanted. Like by the time he came back, but
that was his senior year.
That was my junior year.
So I came back in May of my junior year, and I proposed in June.
Yeah.
So you saw the world and still wasn't enamored by the options. You said, my heart is back there in Portsmouth, Virginia. That's where my heart is.
That's where that.
And so your mom said what about, hey, she gave you the blessing, right? Did you talk to her dad?
I did talk to her dad.
What did dad say?
He was one of like, hey, I would love to chat more about it.
Yeah.
And talk, make sure you guys know like the implications and the importance of this type of decision. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have my blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Propose. Now here you are, what, 22? You're 21 at this 21. Time? You're 20?
Yeah.
When 21, we got engaged, 20, yeah. Yeah, when we got engaged, yeah, yeah. 20, 21.
20 and 21. And so how long did y'all stay engaged before y'all got married?
A year.
It was a year.
A year. Yeah. So y'all knew that. Once you got engaged, you said, are we going to be married when I graduate high school? When I graduate college, we getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we had planned on a December wedding in 2009. And then he said he got accepted into a program at University of Oklahoma. And he was like, but they're calling me to be there in June. And I said, so what are we doing? Like... I said, I'm not moving without a marriage, a wedding, you know, or, and so we moved up the wedding to June of 2009, mm-hmm. and then a week later,
we moved out. A week later.
Yeah.
So that was still a year? It was still a year engagement?
June 1st, 2008.
Oh, yeah, June.
Yeah. Yeah, June 1st.
Yeah.
You're trying to wait a year and a half. And then
yeah. You know.
And then a year.
She said, I'm not following you to a whole other state.
Nope.
And we're going to be shacking up. Right. That's why I said it's important. Stop shacking up with us. Hit that subscription button and subscribe.
Yes, love it.
You got to make a commitment. Uh-huh. And so so never did you feel any pressure?
No.
Because this is what you wanted to do.
This is what I wanted to do.
And so now y'all moved to Oklahoma. And what was the job that you were doing?
I was a graduate assistant.
Oh, Lord.
So that was the grunt work. Just... whatever you were asked to do, you did it. And it was, and then I was working in college athletics. So you're talking about up at 6,
yeah,
coming home at 10. And so it was different because this is the first time she didn't live in Virginia anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're married and there is no one around. It's just us. And it was one of those commitments, like, I would say that was one of the biggest blessings though, because we knew there was no running back to our parents.
Yeah,
it was like, you're going to look at me in the eyes and I'm going to look at you. Mm-hmm. And everything we deal with, we're going to communicate and we're going to work through it.
Yeah.
And I think that first year for us was probably, when people say it was that's usually their hardest. It was hard on the circumstance, but it was probably one of our best years because we continued to grow and learn how we were going to interact with one another.
Mm. Yeah.
And now create that foundation in our marriage to move forward and where we are right now.
And what were you doing? Where'd you end up getting a job at?
So it took me about, what, 6 months?
6 months to find a job? Five, something.
And I don't want to skip over the fact that brother was only making about $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah. And then how much was the rent?
About $602.
Yep.
$602. And we had a phone bill, water, you know, all that stuff. So I'm like, what is happening?
Peanut butter and jelly and ramen noodles was
all that was our favorite.
And when we was getting fancy, we went to CC's Pizza for $5. Yeah, come on.
Bring your big purse.
Yeah.
You put your little Tupperware.
Made
oh
it work.
My gosh.
But you would never know it, right?
Right.
There's friends now that was like, we never knew it was that hard. Struggling. Because y'all was always giving. And y'all was always opening y'all home to us. Because it was a bunch of graduate assistants all going through that same thing.
Same thing.
Thanksgiving, everybody was at our house. Yep. And we would potluck it or figure a way.
Yeah.
We were going to be generous with what we had.
Yeah.
And I think even in those moments, it was our marriage and the fruit of our marriage is a byproduct of our generosity, even to others.
And the fact that we were probably the only married out of
only
our friends.
We were actually the only married.
Only
like,
married out of our friends.
Here, this guy is 21, GA, making $1,000. He married? What?
Yeah. So it took me about 6 months, and then I finally found a job being an executive assistant at a company. And when that came through, I was like, thank you, God, because... we needed it bad.
Yeah. You got that job. You thought y'all was balling then.
Yeah. I was like, let's not go to CC's. Let's do,
Who was the first place? Cheddar's. I said, was it? Right. It was in Norman. Yeah. It was like,
oh,
Cheddar's.
My God.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It was good times.
And so did it ever get, in those moments, when did it get bad? When did it get moments to where, or were there moments where it was like, insecurities taking over, whether it was financial insecurities, mm-hmm. whether it was relational insecurities, where you like, oh, well, who's that girl you looking at? Or he like, well, who's that guy that now you working with your coworker?
Right.
Were there any levels of insecurities that began to challenge your relationship?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And what,
absolutely.
I grew up very the, I would, in high school, I would say I was that guy that was always in the group of girls.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was, I was their friend.
Yep.
Kadera was my, that's guy.
That's me.
I can tell him whatever.
Yeah.
She was that girl.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was that my friend.
In high school, yeah.
In high school. So now I'm in this role mm-hmm. where I'm with student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got their leggings. People are coming up asking questions and growth. And because as a GA, I'm that mediator between coaches and the student athletes.
Yeah.
But I'm having these girls come and talk to me. Yep. And it's like perception.
Yep.
It's reality to many people.
Yeah.
And so when you see that and she was seeing that, well, who's that?
Yeah. And I think because we always talk about this. We know, right?
Yeah,
and
you're talking about women. Women can pick up things.
Yes, we can pick up things. And 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. is a long time to be sitting at home wondering, what is my man doing? Like, I'm here just watching Maury or something. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm like, what is he doing? And then, like, you know, I would go to, like,
that's
a sporting 16 event.
16 hours.
Yeah.
You were doing 16-hour days?
Yeah.
Days was long.
Long.
Are you going from
a making $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then in that process, there's also school. So there's those days where you're then going to a 7 to 10 class.
Yep. And then, you know, I go to a sporting event or something. Hey, Kadera. Yeah. Okay.
Well, who's that?
Hey, Kadera. Yeah. Okay. And so it was a lot of them. Okay. You know, like, how do you know my man? Oh, yeah, she's in my class. I'm like, oh, all right. You know. But it was just a lot of that in front of me that I was just like, dang. Like, it caused my mind to just get the best of me sometimes, if I'm honest. And like, huh, you know, I guess I just got to trust them, like, at the end of the day. But it was hard. It was hard because, one, they didn't look like me. They weren't shaped like me. Like, it was, oh, does he want that? Or, you know, all those questions just come racing to your mind. And so it was hard. But
and for me, it was, when you talk about that being married young,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
that was the biggest challenge because I'm learning on the go as a young man and haven't done all this experience of now saying, okay, as a man of God and a husband, there is a love I'm supposed to be showing her. And now I have to create these boundaries.
That's the word I was trying to get to.
And to show that, no, I'm protected. Mm-hmm. And protecting myself and protecting our union.
And how did you establish those boundaries?
For me, it was a lot of times where it was when and where I was talking,
mm-hmm.
how many, who was in the room when I'm mm-hmm. talking, creating a space. We're not by ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a group of us.
Yeah.
And we're doing things like that. You don't need my number or any of that type of stuff. So it was creating those type of boundaries, making sure that I had people with me all the whole time to vouch. Nah, Kadera was good. There was even one time I think walking to my car to leave, but there's a group of girls that behind me and it's in the parking garage and it looks like it's just that perception.
Yeah.
So just finding moments where you can do that and then reassuring her. There was also a piece where I had to continue to show myself approve of reassuring, hey, I'm with you, I want you, and asking her and communicating her, how do you need to be reassured that I'm with you and I want only you and that you can trust me. Because, you know, trust is earned when it comes to that. And when you see that, it's gonna have to be, you're gonna have to stack truths on truths and like continue to make it obvious that I am not doing anything. Keep it on. I am not doing anything.
So there was never any situation where you stepped outside your marriage?
No.
And was in a situation you stepped outside the marriage?
No.
You're always going to look at the guy and she'd be like, don't ask me because it's about 6 times.
Yeah. No.
But women,
never
you would never find out. You'd be like,
right.
Be like, okay. So the reality was, so y'all had that place of vulnerability and truth to where you said you didn't try to quote unquote gaslight her and be like, why are you tripping? Why are you insecure? It ain't even no big deal. You said, you know what? Let me go ahead and put boundaries up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me over communicate to my wife and say, hey, listen, how would you like for me to show up? And you covered her with reassurance saying, I only want you.
Yeah.
Because you know subconsciously she's comparing herself. Mm-hmm. Oh, here she is. Here's this little 18-year-old, this little 19-year-old, and she's athletic because that's the type of girls you're dealing with. Little track stars running around.
Right.
She's looking like, man, that girl fine. Them legs. I know you see that. And you like, I see it, but I still want only you.
Right.
that's where I say that we have to operate in a place of not only understanding, but honesty, where it's I didn't get married and became blind.
Right.
I still see fine women. Yeah. Yes, I do see that.
Yeah.
But I'm committed to you.
Yeah.
And people have to be honest about that. But what we end up doing sometimes is like, man, I don't even look at her. I don't even see her.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Because if I can see her, I know you can see her. I mean, let's call what it is. Like, she has a beautiful body.
I think the girl's fine. No, you think the girl's fine.
If I think she's fine, if I was you, I'd holler at her. Now, if I'm saying if I was you, I would holler at you. I know that you would.
I'm telling you, just and keep it
was
honest.
And it was a progress for me because in my head I was like, "You're taking away of who I am. I am the nice guy."
Yeah,
and I had to come to that realization. So that reassurance, that creating it
came after it was through steps. The 14 years.
It was it was steps. It was
a process. That was one of my biggest struggles, even in my marriage. Is and then my ex-wife told me this one day. She said, "I don't have to worry about you cheating on me with some random woman. It'll be one of your friends." And I was like, man, she know me.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I said, she know me because that's exactly what it was. I'm just not somebody that's going to just sleep with some random person. Right. It was somebody that I had a connection with.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I was like, and she told me that and I still fail for it.
Yeah.
Instead of taking that warning before destruction as warning before destruction. Yeah. And so women, y'all know, y'all be looking saying, hey, we can see something.
Yep.
It may not even be you right now, but I'm looking at her now.
You're talking.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. I know you're getting offended. I know you're getting offended by saying
that. We're like, what you mean?
You're thinking I'm saying that you are plotting to cheat. No, she's about to ensnare you.
And that's
you
what it was. That's what it was a lot of times. And I was like, if you got me because of all that you had going on with the personalities, why do you think... why would it stop with me? Like, they're looking for friends. They're looking for an ear, you know? So it's like, it's not you. Sometimes
we can just be so naive.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just
my friend. That's my homegirl. I don't even see her like that. You don't see her like that, but you see she fine.
Right.
Let's start there.
I mean,
she all
right,
but no, she fine.
Right.
All the dudes on campus think she fine. Right. You're just going to say
she's
fine.
And
you're
the only one that
knows. Yeah, you're the only one that knows. No, that's because I'm married. I don't even look at nobody else.
That's why I say that
whoever I marry, I want to also make sure that we are totally transparent with each other.
Absolutely.
If we see a guy, she's like, okay, he's attractive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you can hide those emotions and whatever, it's still coming out. You're going to talk to your homegirl about it. Did you see?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you can't tell me that.
Yeah.
And for us to be so secure and solid with each other enough that she'd be like, that's your type right there. And I'd be like, who, her? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You know me. Like, we know each other. But then to know that, and then now there's nothing that we can't discuss with each other. Because what we hide is what begins to be a hindrance. Yep. And so we like, I swear, she comes. I talk to her, but I ain't going to be like that. But I will like to just communicate with her. We cool or whatever. Yep. And then she slide, how you doing? Hey, give me a call. And I'll be like, I talk to her, but it ain't like that. Like, I love my wife, but I ain't finna do that. And then you just open those doors. Yep. Your wife say, hey, I notice how that girl looking at you. Oh, I don't even know her like that. You were sitting up there texting her. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Just be real and be like, yes, she is very attractive. And as a matter of fact, she came up and asked me for my phone number. And I said no, because I know I'm attracted to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the wife to not be like, you're attracted to her. And be all insecure, she'd be like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what it
is. Thank you for being honest. And
in
that honesty, safety.
Yeah.
Yes.
Safety is, because she says, even when it hurts to tell me the truth, he tells me the truth.
Yep.
And I find safety in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then she has to go back, and even him, he may have to go back to check his own insecurity and say, now, do I really want my wife to tell me the truth about this attraction that she has for her coworker? And then she's saying that, but I'm setting up boundaries because I'm attracted to this person.
Yep.
And do I want that truth, or do I want her not to tell me at all? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like that stupid song that came out years ago that says, I don't want to know if you're playing me, keep it on the low.
Oh, yeah,
because my heart can't take it anymore. Like, you just want to be cheating.
You just want, that's what you want.
I don't want to know. Who was that? Was that Mario? Who sang that?
Who's that?
Marcus Houston?
No.
Mario.
What?
Google that.
I know what song you're talking about.
I don't want to know if you're playing me, keep it on the low.
That's an older. Yeah, that's an older
I think that was Mario. Goofy stuff. No, this is Mario. This is way back in the day. Mario. Yeah, that's Mario. So I was like, when my son came out, I said, that's not my testimony. Right. That's not.
Nor do I want it to be.
I want to know.
Right. And so that's the reality. So that's so cool that y'all created that and gave each other enough grace to walk through those processes. Marriage is not some quick fix that we get married and we're going to do everything right to give each other grace to weather through this storm.
Yeah.
And so what was one of the biggest challenges that y'all had to overcome in y'all's marriage? Y'all been married for how many years?
14.
14 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest challenge that y'all had to overcome?
Our infertility probably is our biggest challenge.
Y'all dealt with infertility issues for how long?
11 years.
11 years.
11 years.
Who was the partner? Was it you or the infertility? We always assume it's the woman, but sometimes a guy may be dealing with impotency issues or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I want to be open. And who was dealing with the infertility issues?
It was more so me. I got diagnosed with PCOS when I was, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
I think 2016. And so when I had that doctor's appointment, they were like, they finally figured out what it was. And they were like, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be very difficult to conceive because your hormones just aren't telling your body to do certain things. And so I told Kadir, I was like, well, they said it's PCOS. It's going to be hard. But in that moment, I didn't care what the doctor said because my relationship with God was like, we've had dreams. We've had prophecies about our daughter. And I knew what God had told me. I knew what I've dreamt. I knew what people said. And I said, okay, well, that's your diagnosis. That's fine. I'm going to do what I have to do as far as if there's medication or anything like that. But I'm still trusting God at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so that was 2016.
What kind of medication they put you on?
We started off with like an oral contraceptive to try to get my hormones aligned and all of that stuff.
People, explain what PCOS is.
Yes. So it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so what that does is it messes with your hormones. Some people can like lose hair or you can gain weight or, you know, it's just everything's out of whack pretty much in your body. And so like it's not telling my body to have a cycle or it's not telling my body to, you know, ovulate and things like that. So I had to break that to him. And at that point, like I was low key, like devastated. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like I was like, okay, but get over the devastation. And now what does God say?
Yeah. And prior to that though, like what you said, 2015, we already had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
So we had been trying and
I'm sorry to hear that.
We had been trying already. And like you were on treatments prior to that and we got pregnant and then we miscarried because I remember being at work and she's like calling me and I'm like, oh no, like, and I'm like running out of my, like I'm in our athletic building, I'm running out of the building just to meet her, just to hug her. And so that was the moment, was like, okay, what's next? And then when she went to the doctor, that's now they explained, okay, this is where we're at.
And I think that part was so hard because it was like our first, like at that point we had been wanting, like trying to get pregnant for, do the math, I don't know.
It's 6 years.
6 years. Mm-hmm. And so we were early on, but we knew we were making a trip to Virginia. So we were like, well, while we're here, we might as well tell our family, right? So we surprised them and told them all that stuff. We flew back and got back to Oklahoma. And that's when I went to the doctor and they did an ultrasound and she's like, okay, I'm going to go get the doctor. And I knew at that point, like, you know, normally the ultrasound tech can tell me what's going on. And so then that's when they broke it to me and I went to Kadarell's job and he came out and we just had a cry session outside and just, it was a rough day. Like, I remember that day. And then I just went home and passed the baby and was in the bed for probably like three, four days, just in a dark place. Because we had wanted it at that time for so long. And so then we had some more treatments in between. And then we decided we wanted to get more serious when we moved to Illinois. And at that point, we found out that IVF was like 90% taken care of by insurance. So we're like, oh, snap, it's time to get busy. Like, you know, because this is coming at a discounted rate.
You're talking about IVF that cost some people $25,000, $30,000. Yeah. And like, it was like insurance is taking care of a lot of it. Yeah. We're like, okay, this is
opportunity. This must be the time.
This must be the time because I had just literally transitioned to this job after getting laid off. From my job in Wisconsin. So now we're here and it was like, okay, we want to start a family. We're good.
Y'all been moving around.
We moved around. Yeah. So we went from Virginia, Oklahoma, back to Virginia,
back to Oklahoma,
South Dakota, Wisconsin, Illinois.
What?
And now we're in Oklahoma.
Job chasing. Just in the athletic world of you chasing next job.
So what jobs were you working?
So I was a director of football operations. So I worked for the football programs. In that time, I was also working like for the athletic department doing like event management for all sports. So each one I was going to just either coaches there or I'm just trying to elevate my own status for money and things like that. So it was interesting. And we'll get to that part. Interesting. I'm chasing my dream, chasing the money, chasing these titles. Yeah. In this whole process.
So then
I want to come back to that.
Yeah. So then finally 2018
going to 2019. Yep.
Yeah. We started IVF treatments and we were successfully pregnant the first time around.
Nothing happened. It didn't even take the first time around.
That's right.
IVF is just wild because you have to be on like a set schedule. I'm giving her like these shots. Like I'm doing it myself in her side or stomach. Just do you go different areas?
They hurt?
Initially, but then I think I just got used to it.
Every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And it had to be at a certain time. I remember. And I usually.
And it was like maybe 3 to 4 shots.
Yeah.
3 to 4 shots each night.
Mm-hmm.
So I
would hold on, 3 or 4 shots.
So I would put an ice pack on, and then it was like a whole concoction. Yeah, to numb it, whole concoction, mixing up stuff, and then it was like I think 3 shots per night. And that was
For how long?
That was probably like it was like a 3 week process.
Two, 3 weeks.
The details are all fuzzy.
Because you got to go in, take the shots. That creates her to release the eggs and then they go in and grab the eggs. So within there, there's like procedures that go in where they actually got to go in, take the eggs, see which ones have embryos. Like,
then he has to do his part. Then they put it together. Then I have to go back and then they have to put it inside.
What's your part?
Provide a sperm sample. Just provide a sperm sample. Then they create the embryo and implant it.
And you said it didn't take.
And didn't take.
Didn't take the first time.
The embryos.
The
first
then you got to start again.
And start again.
So now restarting more shots. Like, and that one.
And that one, they asked us if we wanted to put 2 embryos in just in case one didn't take. So we thought about the possibility of twins if they both did take. We're like, well, that's fine. You know, at this point, we just want kids. And so one of them actually took the second time and we got pregnant and then we miscarried that one.
Miscarried in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they put it back into you, and then they put it back into you as soon as what?
So I'm trying to think. They put it back. It was probably like within a week and a half.
Yeah,
I think
it's quick. Once they take,
yeah,
and it creates the embryo. They look at the embryos
and then they pick out certain ones and.
But they put it back in the uterus.
Hold on, I'll come back to that. Sorry, I just
Well,
I'm just thinking it's interesting to know like they picked the embryos the whole time God wanted to pick the embryo for us.
Don't you start preaching, man. Now I hope what you're not going to do. Because I told you I'm trying to be okay because I know the end of the story.
Yeah.
So take me slowly.
Yeah.
Take me by my hand.
But I think it's just for us. I think what's so tough is like. In that process, especially after the second miscarriage, it was one of those things for me as a husband. It was like, I can't do anything.
Facts.
Yeah.
There's nothing else I can do. And then I know she's hurting. And it was like even normal nights were not the same. Like we were going to a basketball game and we literally had to bring, we had this chest with full of ice packs. We had to keep the date night. We had to keep the shots cold.
Yeah.
And so we didn't go to like this family bathroom And like we like recorded and everything, like, here we are doing this. And
yeah.
I'm in the bathroom setting up. We put the shots in there and then we come, we tell a friend, hey, we'd be right back.
Yeah.
And like that time not many people knew like what we were doing. So it was like, we'd be back, go in there and do that. And then for us, it's like, God, we're trying our hardest. Yeah. We're doing everything by the book and yet still nothing. Yeah. And so that's probably like round October, November of 2019.
So that was two miscarriages at this point. So then you had the second miscarriage. And then what year is this?
This is about
2019.
Yeah, 2019. Mm-hmm.
And how many years? Because it was, how many years have y'all been trying at this point when it hit the second time of the miscarriage?
We had probably been trying.
That's probably like, 10 because pretty much when we got married, we never was like, oh, we not going
to. Y'all was trying to have kids at the very beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning. So then y'all got to a point, year 10, that y'all gave up?
It was at that point, it was just like, this is where we are. And I kind of like, Hope, what do you feel? How do you feel about
what's next? And what did you say, Hope?
I'm tired. I said, I'm tired. My body has gone through a lot within these last, I'd say,
10 years.
Yeah. 10 years. Especially like with the whole IVF treatment. And at that point, the doctors were kind of like, well, we can try again, but I'd encourage you to wait a little bit, let your body kind of readjust to what's going on. And I said, Kadero, I'm wiping my hands of it. I said, I am tired of trying. At that point, I was angry. I was like, God, I'm tired of praying, as crazy as it sounds. And I was kind of like in my Jeffrey voice, I quit. Like, I'm done. I was like, God, the only way I'm going to get pregnant is if you are part of this. And I can't do nothing else about it. And so I remember laying in my bed and I was just crying. And I was just like, God, I'm over it. Like, I'm done. And I was like, you literally have to do it because I can't do anything else.
He said, I surrender.
Yeah.
I said, and looking back now, it was like, her surrender was a seed into her own fertile ground.
Yeah.
Say that one more time for the people in the back.
I said, at that moment when she surrendered, her surrender was a seed for the fertile ground.
Yeah.
Because God said, now I know
you. Now that your hand is off of it, can I now do my part?
Put my hand on it.
Yeah.
And so what we expect is, within a few months, we got pregnant. And that wasn't the case.
Yeah, you think about IVF and it's like, it seems easy. They do it and boom, you're pregnant. That wasn't our case.
And then even after we surrendered to God, it wasn't like, oh, we got this miracle of a couple months later, we here.
Yeah.
No, that was 2019.
Yeah.
We didn't. And so
2020 hits. Pandemic hits.
And
that's when y'all started doing these videos.
And that's when we started doing these videos.
We needed something. At that point, Kadero had came and was working at home. And like we said, like we were kind of tired of staring at each other. And at that point, mentally, I was in this place of still darkness because we had just freshly come off the failed IVF attempt. And I was like, we need to do something. I need to get my mind off of it. Like we need to do something, to pass time and to kind of embrace the season that we're in. Yeah. So that's when we started looking at TikTok and seeing like funny things like, okay, let's try to do this and see, you know, what happens.
Never underestimate the power of laughter.
Yeah.
It is truly a resource of healing.
The Bible says laughter doeth the heart good as medicine.
And it's like while people were laughing at us, I was starting to get my laugh back, even in that moment of it's hard right now, but I know I'm helping other people, but just as much it was helping me in the same. Yeah.
And what happened?
So we go
y'all
through.
Y'all still goosing. y'all was still out here goosing.
Still out there. We go through the whole year 2020.
Yeah.
We get into 2021. And that moment of 2021, I felt like it was time for me to come out of athletics. It was this weirdness of what COVID did was like, I'm home. I'm with my wife. We're doing this. There's these brand deals that. There's a different, there's something different out there. And it's now putting me closer to my family. And it was like, I'm no longer chasing this dream and this money, but I'm spending time with my wife. And it was like, I had to come to this realization is maybe it's time, but it was hard because I found my identity in that.
Yeah.
And that was my work from the time I graduated college to at that point of 2021. All right. I knew was college athletics. But I decided, hey, I'm going to step away. And it was easy because at that moment, the guy I was working for had just left. And he reached out to me, hey, Kader, I know we had the conversation about you wanting to kind of maybe step away. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got somebody that's looking for somebody to do some remote work. And I was like, well, let them know I'm interested. Yeah. And so it was May 23rd, 2021. And in that time frame, we also was like, okay, we're in Chicago. I'm working remotely. We might as well just set up roots here.
Yeah.
So we brought a little condo in Chicago.
Yep.
We're watching. I get the job for the remote work. And now we're watching Transformation Church and it's their Flood Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, let's baptize each other. He was like, so we ended in the tub. We baptize each other while the service is going on.
Yeah.
And at the church, we take a nap.
Yeah,
take a nap.
You gotta do that.
And then she wakes me up, and I was like, "What's up?" She's like, "I just want to kiss the father of my child." Yeah. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "Let me see." So I wanted to see the pregnancy test, and it's this faint little line, and that's just so crazy. It's real faint.
Yeah,
but that's positive, and that's all I needed to see, and.
And I think for me, as like going back just a little bit, for me, like I knew like I didn't feel my best because I was always sleeping. And Kader was like, what's wrong with you? I mean, he was the nap police. Like, I was like, I just want to sleep. I don't know. And he was like, well, maybe you should take a pregnancy test. And I was like, I don't want to. Because at that point, I think 1,000 pregnancy tests easy. I probably have taken over the course of those 14 years. And I was like, I don't want to see another disappointed, you know, test and all of that stuff. But then I was reflecting and I was like, well, the symptoms is kind of lining up. So then we took the test and I told him, and it was like, he was like, well, take another one. And
yeah.
So it was like the line just kept getting darker and darker and darker. But the beauty of it all was at that point we had we were kind of new. So I hadn't established like a doctor yet. So I went to the fertility clinic. And I said, this is going to sound crazy, but I was in here a while ago trying to get treatment, but I naturally conceived and want to confirm to see if there's a baby. And so we went there. They said the baby looks absolutely beautiful. It looks like a very healthy pregnancy. But just the thought of that was a place I cried to on my way and on my way back. There was worship songs playing on the way there, on the way back. And now for God to have the moment for me to now go there to confirm a pregnancy, I was like, this is the drive that I've been wanting to take for the longest time. So it was just the beauty and like, God, you're so good, because it touched me in a way that I was like, I'm not leaving this place with disappointing news. Like I'm leaving here at that point, 6 weeks pregnant. And then we went back 2 weeks later, and everything looked great, and she will be 2 in January.
2 in January.
Oh, so yeah.
What's her name?
Novi. Novi Rain.
Novi Rain. Yeah. Where'd the name come from?
It's funny. It's actually an actress name, Novi.
Sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a cute name. Novi's really cute. And we looked up the definition of Novi, and it means new. And then Kadero came up with Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And
R-A-I-N-E? How's it spelled?
R-A-I-N-E.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was a definition of queen. So yeah. I would say our new queen.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to keep myself together.
I try every time, and I get choked up like just thinking about it. Because
you said at the beginning, you said it's interesting because how the doctors, they'll try to find the perfect embryo to attach to this, and they're using all their medical science and their knowledge and wit. And I believe that there is a place for science, but there's also a greater place for the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
And the great physician says, listen, I understand y'all tried that, but I'm just going to show y'all that I am God.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I am omnipotent, which means all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how when you least expected it,
mm-hmm.
when y'all embrace the purpose of your marriage, when mm-hmm. you decided to say, hey, let's go ahead and share a little laughter with the world.
Right.
And God gave you your laughter back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
God gave you beauty for ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then God gave you a bonus and said, it's delayed, but yeah. not denied.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give you your heart's desires.
Yeah.
And then y'all name her the new queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so interesting, too. And we always talk about this. God gave us our answered prayer after he gave us the platform. And we have to always take the look at it is never ever about us. Never it is us. Always about God. So if God, you want to build this platform and now hundreds of thousands of people are now being inspired, our message would not have been the same what if we had gotten pregnant 10 years ago or,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, it's just we have to always trust his order and his timing. And I think we now attach that to everything we do.
Yes.
It's always God's timing. It's not ours because at the end of the day, like you said, he knows all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's amazing like that.
Oh boy, y'all done wore me out. I just feel like I just had a whole worship moment. It's like in moments like this, I'll start singing and worshiping mm-hmm. God, and I'll be on the flow. But yeah. I'm gonna hold my mule. I'm like Jesus, because that yeah. this I love it when I see the hand of God at work.
Yeah,
and like you said. He created a platform so all those people can hear that story.
Yes.
He created this platform for me so that y'all can share y'all story
yep.
on it.
Yep.
Because God wants to be glorified
yeah.
yes.
to the masses.
Yeah.
In a place where we people have gone or grown cynical towards God. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about believers in Christ
mm-hmm.
who say, mm-hmm. man, God, I mean, it's cool. You know, my mom yeah. raised me in church. I believe all that. But then you don't really believe all
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You believe all that, but right. I don't believe all that.
Yeah.
You don't believe that God still can
right.
and that God still will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even people are right now listening to your story
mm-hmm.
and they're going, you know what? I believe God did that for them, but I don't believe he'll do the same for me. I want you to know right now that the same God, he's the same God yesterday, today, yep. and forever. He's the same God of Isaac, Jacob. He's the same God.
Mm-hmm.
And the same God is still a miracle worker in your life. That same God that blessed them with the gift of life, the gift of an offspring, the gift of legacy. It's the same God that can do whatever it is that you need in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says, I pray that your faith fails not. That's that moment. And not saying that like they said, that through their story, it didn't waver. Because you're gonna waver when you get hit and you get uppercuts and take bruises or whatever. But they still didn't let go of God's unchanging hand. You can be mad at your spouse, but just don't let go of their unchanging hand. You can go through struggles and disappointments, but don't let go of their unchanging hand. I found so much encouragement from what y'all said. After we turn off these cameras, I'm going to tell you another way that story is applicable to my own life. But I want y'all to just look at that camera over there. That's your camera. And I want you to say whatever that's on your heart, mm-hmm. both of y'all, one at a time, share whatever's on your heart to people.
I would say this. Gratitude is so important. God is a jealous God, but there is something about the gratitude that we can show him each and every day. Waking up and knowing that we have breath in our lungs and that in that moment we can just be thankful for what we have. So hope again, believe again, and for whatever it is that you want. And I think in that, have the gratitude to God that he can do it. He can do it.
And I think for us, it was the miracle of our child. But I know that everybody may not want kids. So just to apply the same thing to whatever it is that you're wanting and desiring and know, like if it's a job or if it's like a spouse or anything like that, just trust God's timing and be led by him. And so often we can get in our own way because of what we want and how we think it should go. But if you totally surrender the way that we did in any situation, just let God be God and he'll show off because he's like that.
Listen, how can they connect with y'all?
Yeah.
What's y'all's Instagram and TikTok?
Our Instagram and TikTok. All our social media platform is Everyday with HK. You can also visit our website, everydaywithhk.com.
Yep.
Listen, man. The other part that that happened with y'all is y'all relocated back to Oklahoma to be a part of Transformation Church, just to be parishioners, just to attend the church. And like y'all on staff and nothing. What led y'all to go and do that?
So crazy, because with that one, it was simple. We now work. Everybody was home working.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just put it out there. Like, I had this feeling like, yo, I moved for jobs.
Yep.
Let's move for God.
Yep.
And what he has for us.
Yep.
And I felt like we've been watching Transformation since it was 2018 online. Let's now be there, because it's different.
Yeah.
Online and being in person, it's different, and not neglecting that community. And so I asked her, and at first was like, nah, I'm good.
I said, we've done Oklahoma before, the tornadoes. I said, I'm not with it. So my answer is no. But then God came to me in three dreams. And the very last dream, he said, you know, you have to move to Tulsa. And I was at the changing table with our daughter in the dream. And I was like, no, you know, I don't think that's God speaking. And it was. But he was like, you have to move. And he was like, in this season, it's right now, it's going to be for you, the two of you. But Cadero needs to be there. And we're still in the present of, we don't know how it's working out, but we know that the both of us are supposed to be in Tulsa. So when God said that, I was like, Lord, now I got to tell Cadero that God spoke to me in a dream. Because if I didn't, we would probably still be in Chicago. But it's like, he knows all. And so we had to be obedient. And I think our thing was always, we'd rather see what's on the side of obedience than what's on the side of disobedience. And so we were like, well, we heard from him, so we got to do it.
And it's so funny, because our best time spiritually has always been in Oklahoma.
Yep.
And in our marriage, we've moved 7 times.
Yep.
The first time was to Oklahoma. The third time was to Oklahoma. And now the 7th time was to Oklahoma.
Don't start preaching.
Yeah.
And so those numbers was 1, 3, and 7.
Yeah.
And we're in Oklahoma. And those have always been the times we were at our best spiritually. And when you're at your best spiritually, you're usually your best in life.
It's have like y'all gotten a chance to meet Pastor Mike?
We have.
Did y'all tell him the story?
We told him one story of when he actually called us during the pandemic, when he was releasing relationship goals.
Yeah.
And he was like on live and he was calling people. He actually called us and talked to us. We showed him that, but we haven't really shared our whole story with him.
I'm gonna send him this video.
Yeah.
I'm gonna text him this video. I'm gonna say, this is y'all church members. Because it's something there. It's something at that church that y'all are supposed to be a part of. And I can see stuff. Y'all finna be on staff in some type of way. I already see it. Trust me. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you
for blessing the Dear Future Wifey podcast family, the Lit Fam, with this amazing testimony. Now they'll understand the purpose behind the laughter. When they see this couple that's not just putting on for the gram, they go, oh, they've been tested, tried and true.
Yeah.
That they actually love each other,
right?
They like each other. And they having fun with each other. Yeah. And they love the Lord. And they're doing kingdom work together. You can have it all. You can have it all. And that's what's so encouraging for me. I'm going to cry when I get in the car. Because I just feel this heaviness. I just want to sing. I ain't about to sing, but
I felt it.
Now my voice hoarse right now. I can't be simply singing, but I'm gonna get in the car and I'm gonna sing like I'm in the shower when I get in the car.
Yep.
But it's a worship welling up in my spirit, and it's so applicable that this episode is gonna drop the day before Thanksgiving, and I just want everybody to stay in a heart posture of thankfulness.
Yes.
Even when they're not receiving the desires of their heart, be thankful that you still have a good mind to still desire.
Yes.
And so thank you. Hey, y'all give it up for my homies, Hope and Kadero Watson. Ladarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today. You know what? I always believe that behind laughter is a lot of pain. And so what I admire about this couple is their ability to laugh in the midst of pain, to allow their laughter to be a soundtrack for other people to laugh and get over their pain or issues that they may be going through. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to y'all, the Watsons, for just keeping it real. Appreciate y'all so much. Well, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, let's laugh. Let's laugh a lot. Let's challenge each other to greatness and then laugh again. Let's support each other to accomplish our heart's desire. Let's laugh some more. Let's not take life too seriously. Let our laughter be the source of healing to overcome minor disagreements. Laughter doeth the heart good as medicine. That's biblical. If the laughter that underscores our home ceases, our love is on life support. Let laughter resuscitate us. Let laughter resuscitate our love. Your future hubby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.